Well, now on Saturday Extra, let's visit the largest commercial centre in Central America. It's the Mercado Oriental Market in Managua, the capital of Nicaragua, where an astonishing 50,000 people work each day. And it's hot and it's crowded. It's very messy. It's also a prime example of how working in the informal economy is becoming the norm for hundreds of thousands, if not thousands, of Central Americans. Douglas Haynes is Associate Professor of English at the University of Wisconsin. He's visited Managua every summer for the past 5 years to observe the society and the place of the Oriental Market in it. And his article, Mango Mango, was published in the latest edition of Orion magazine. And Douglas Haynes joins me now to talk about it. Douglas, welcome to Saturday Extra.
Hi, Andrew. Thanks for having me. It's great to be with you.
Very good to talk to you. I visited this market back in 2004, but I think it's grown even more remarkably in the last decade. Why the fascination, Douglas, with Nicaragua in the first place?
Well, Nicaragua is, for somebody who's interested in the forces that are shaping the world today, kind of an epicenter in many ways. It's one of the most vulnerable countries in the world to climate change, and it also is experiencing a worldwide phenomenon of rural to urban migration that is shaping cities around the world. So it's drawn me. It's also, you know, relatively close to home from my home here in the United States. And I've been spending a lot of time in Central America over the last 10 years and developed relationships in Managua that and visited places that I just had to keep going back to. So,
yeah, and of course, Nicaragua itself was quite a country that divided American public opinion in the 1980s because the Reagan administration was funding the Contra rebels, some called them terrorists, nonetheless, against the Sandinista government, and public opinion was very divided over America's role in Nicaragua, wasn't it?
That's correct. It was a very hot and divisive issue in the United States in the 1980s, and you'll see in Nicaragua today still the legacy of that, obviously, for the people of Nicaragua, very much still recovering from the loss of life and the economic crises that came about as a result of that war, and the whole legacy of U.S. policy in the region and in Nicaragua in particular. But you'll also find the legacy of what were called U.S. internationalists, not just from the U.S., but a lot of people went down as part of the solidarity movement in the 1980s. So there are long connections with the two countries, both regrettable ones and positive ones.
They did, and the grandson of the late Pete Seeger, I think, spent a lot of time in Nicaragua with his parents, documenting what was happening and you know, developing his music. Now, describe the market for us. It stretches, I think, across 225 acres. Is there anything you cannot buy at the Mercado Oriental?
As far as I know, there is not, and that's what Nicaraguans say. If you can't buy it in the Oriental, you can't buy it anywhere. You can literally buy a pet iguana. You can, of course, buy any kind of food imaginable if it's available in Central America, just teeming with all kinds of tropical fruits, of course. And then it also has large areas that are devoted to selling household products, appliances, car parts. You'll see mounds of car parts in the market. You'll see places where people are making charcoal right there in the market out of hard wood. So the sensory experience of the market is really can be quite overwhelming the first few times. And of course, all of this has all kinds of effects on the immediate environment as well.
Is it a tourist attraction, though?
I wouldn't say so. Really, if you were to look at a guidebook, what it says about the market is kind of go, like a Lonely Planet guidebook says, go if you dare, you know. It has the reputation of being the most dangerous place in Nicaragua, but I've never had a problem there, and really the kind of crime that happens there is the kind of petty crime, pickpockets and that sort of thing that you would find in any kind of very crowded urban place in a lot of places around the world. So except for a couple of places where crime tends to congregate, you know, one feels very safe there, but it's not a place frequented by tourists.
Yeah. I went there in 2004 only because I found Managua, a pretty sterile city. I mean, compared with Lyon, and is it Cordoba? Is that the other historic city? I think there's Lyon.
Granada.
Yes, yeah. Managua is a pretty sterile city, and I did find a lot of life in this market. Tell us about the woman who becomes your guide and friend, Diane Baldaloma.
That's correct. Diane is a really amazing woman, and in many ways, her life embodies what many Nicaraguans have experienced as they've moved to the city in the last half century. Diane moved to the city when she was 9. Her mother started selling firewood in the market. She grew up in the countryside about an hour south of Managua, but really in a totally different world, a kind of peasant world. And her mother began basically coming to the market every day, first selling firewood, and then had the idea to buy large quantities of fruit in the market and then resell it on the outskirts to make a small profit. She decided to stay there and then eventually brought her whole family there. Diane came at age 9 and began working as an ambulatory vendor, walking throughout the city selling fruit from a basket on her head. When she had the chance to get a loan from a small nonprofit to start her own stand in the market, she took advantage of that and set up a fruit and drink stand about 11 years ago, and she's been doing that every day from about 7 in the morning till 6 at night for the last decade. Mm.
And she lived in the market for a while, and that's not unusual. 50,000 people working there. How many people live there?
It's estimated, it's hard to say exactly, but it's estimated that 10 to 15,000 people live in the heart of the market. Diane's parents still live there. I've been to their house many times. In the middle of this labyrinth of the market, there are these really kind of Dickensian-looking warrens of alleys and shacks where people are living, and they run a business out of their home there, making what are called platanitos, fried plantain chips, and then they walk through the market selling them.
Yes, the delicious and no less fattening than potato chips.
That's correct. Both of those are true. Yeah.
Yes, I can attest to that. It was only walking 9 hours a day that managed to walk off those plantain chips. Uh-huh. I don't know if I bought Diane's, but I certainly stocked up on a lot of those. The interesting thing about the market, too, is that it tells us a lot about the growing informal economy. Now, put it in the context of a country like Nicaragua.
That's right. In Nicaragua, as in many places around the world, the formal economy of wage-paying contracted jobs isn't providing for the majority of people. 70% of Nicaraguans work in the informal economy. They may be street vendors like Diane, handymen, doing domestic jobs, home food production, day laborers. And again, this is not atypical of many places around the world, but this is also growing in richer countries as well. Roughly 50% of the world's population now works in the informal economy, that is, off the books, not paying taxes on their income. Their jobs are generally unlicensed or unregulated. That's roughly 2 billion people, and it's estimated that by 2020, not that far off in the future, 2 out of every 3 people on the planet will be informally employed.
Including in the United States, because that's the point that you make in your article in Orion, that you've got largely immigrant areas. You talk about Chicago. I suspect there'd be parts of LA as well, where there's a very active and very workable informal economy.
Absolutely. And also, as a result of the financial crisis in 2008, 2009, the off-the-books economy has been booming. It's estimated now that there are $2 trillion of, coming out of the informal economy in the U.S. And last year, in fact, we set also a record for the number of people temporarily employed. So that's not what we would necessarily think of as somebody working off the books entirely, but it does point to the formal economy gradually becoming more informal. That is, employers making their obligations to their employees less uncertain, more informal.
Yes, that's a worldwide trend. We've only got a couple of minutes. Interestingly, you say that that the sort of Washington consensus economic view that prevailed in the 1990s through privatization meant that basically many public sector workers from Nicaragua, where we're talking teachers and nurses, engineers, they ended up sort of washing up in Mercado Oriental to be street vendors because that was the only work left.
That's right. The market has really grown in response to a series of disasters. The war was one of them in the 1980s, but the other was a result of the economic crisis that came about out of privatization and deregulation in the early 1990s when a neoliberal government was elected and really put tens of thousands of public workers out of work. They turned to the market as the one place where there was vital economic activity still in the city as a place to survive. So it's not uncommon that you meet people who have professional training there working as vendors or working in shops in the market.
And you're going back to Nicaragua next month. I guess you'll be visiting Diane and her family again because you're writing a book about her life and the market as told through her life.
That's right. Actually, the book is looking at rural to urban migration. I'm following two families in Managua as they've reinvented their lives in the city and as the city has been reinvented by folks like them coming to Managua. And if you'd like to get to know Diane a little better, there's a little video of her talking about her stand in the market on the Orion Magazine website on the blog there.
We are going to put up all the links to that because it's a lovely article. Douglas Haynes, Associate Professor of English at the University of Wisconsin, off to Managua. Again, you'll find the link to his article, Mango Mango, Into the Heart of Central America's Biggest Market, on our website. Thank you very much, Douglas.
Thank you, Andrew. Enjoy talking to you.